Coming up next, we have Zero to DevOps with the awesome Donovan Brown, and he's just right over here. So we're going to cut to him right now.
All right, thanks, Seth. So what I wanted to show you guys today was sort of how did I do that demo on stage today? A lot of people see me go up on stage and they think, oh, that had to be a lot of smoke in the mirrors, but it wasn't. Everything that you saw me do was real, but I went kind of fast. So what I'm going to do today is take you behind the demo so that you can actually see how I produced it. And then I'm going to talk about some other alternatives that you have to achieve the same goal that I did during the demo with what we have built inside of Visual Studio, what we have inside of VSTS, and what we have inside of Azure. Before I get too far, I want to say a big thank you to the entire VSTS team. Without them, I can't get on stage and do those incredible demos. Our products have come a really, really long way, and it's due to all the hard work of that amazing team. So if you remember from the keynote this morning, I started on a page very similar to the one that's behind me, which is basically, let's create a project. And I just typed in a name, and I clicked on create, and it created a project for me. I happen to have that project here, so we're not going to go through that entire scenario again, but I wanted you to just basically see where did we actually start. If you remember, I never left the browser. I was able to get code from another repo, set up an entire team project, create a CI, and create a continuous delivery, and deploy it to Azure without ever leaving the browser. But a majority of us don't start and end in a browser. Most of us live inside of an IDE. It's 20th anniversary of Visual Studio, and that's where a lot of us spend the majority of our day. So what I'm going to do is show you some alternatives of how we could start from inside of Visual Studio. Another thing that I want to point out is how did I get that infrastructure as code? I think that's the place where I might have lost some people. I was typing extremely, extremely fast, and I might share that trick with you on how I type that fast. We'll see how much time we have. But I want to talk about infrastructure as code, how I can actually get it inside of my solution, and then how I actually use it as part of my deployment. So what we have here inside of Solution Explorer is just the project, the Bike Sharing 360. Now there's a special application or project here called IAC, which is Infrastructure as Code. Now how did I get that in here? How do I know how to build these JSON files so that I can communicate with Azure and create those resource groups? Luckily, you can actually right-click on your solution and simply say, I would like to add a new project. From the Template Explorer here, there's actually a section for cloud, and in here is something called an Azure Resource Group. This is where we can define the JSON files that define exactly what our infrastructure must look like. These are the resources that we need to exist inside of Azure so that we can host our application. Web apps, Redis cache, IaaS VMs, SQL databases, whatever it is that you need to create your data, create your application, you can actually define it in a file. So let me go ahead and just pretend that I'm going to add another one here. What I want to show you here is our tooling allows you to pick from templates that already exist. So what I did is I knew I wanted to deploy a web app, so I chose this one. It then generated for me all the files necessary to hand them to Azure and say, hey, Azure, I need you to go create these resources for me before I can deploy my application there. We also have Logic apps. We have Docker. As you just saw, a great demonstration on Docker. We have a way to spin up a Docker host for you directly inside of Azure if you're not going to use Azure Container Service or one of our other features there as well. Virtual machines, Linux machines, whatever it is that you need to build, you can actually define it using a ARM template or JSON file. So if I were to go ahead and choose on a web app like I did before, what we're going to see on the right-hand side is basically a new project gets added. The project gets added with the files that I need. So what's really neat here is here's this big JSON file, and this defines all of the different resources. Over here on the left-hand side is a way for me to actually navigate the JSON, so I don't have to actually look at the JSON if I want to just go and navigate quickly what got produced. This is all of the resources that are now inside of this particular template. They're parameters that I can pass in, which are really neat because parameters allow me to reuse the same template in multiple environments. I don't have to have a copy for dev and a copy for QA and a copy for staging and a copy for production. I can actually have one ARM template that I want to reapply in each one of those environments and simply pass in parameters that allow me to reuse the same baseline template, but then customize it as I start to deploy it from one environment to the next. And this is a lot of powerful concepts here being introduced, but I wanted to make sure I gave you time to understand what in the world did he do on stage in 9 minutes. And this is one of the key points of it was I was able to tell Azure, this is what I need, go stand that up for me, and now go deploy my application inside of that environment. One of the powerful things that this gives you is the ability for you to completely destroy our dev environment or tear down our QA environment. To get it back again, you simply run your deployment again. And it will literally go out and stand everything back up again, deploy your application inside there, and the world is great. Now, as I mentioned earlier, the way I got started is I never left the browser. But if I'm already inside Visual Studio, how can I create that continuous delivery pipeline from inside Visual Studio? And what you can do now is you need to install an extension. So let me show you how you get there. So you simply go to Tools, go to Extensions and Updates, and then from here, you can search for a lot of cool extensions that are built for Visual Studio. I already installed it, so I'm just going to go ahead and show you here. It's called Continuous Delivery Tools for Visual Studio. So I simply went to the online section here, I typed in continuous, and I installed this particular extension, which adds a lot of cool value inside of Visual Studio, which allows us to connect to Visual Studio Team Services to create the same CI/CD pipeline, or I shouldn't say the same, it's a similar CI/CD pipeline that I created on stage earlier today. So what I'm going to do is just show you where that shows up. This happens to be a web application, and I can now right-click on it, and there's going to be a new context menu there called Configure Continuous Delivery. In doing so, it's now going to say, okay, let me go find your Team Services account where I cloned this particular project from, which is already identified as Bike Sharing 360. And it knows that I want to use the master branch. If I wanted to choose a different branch, I could. It then went ahead and said, okay, let me go find your Azure subscription for you. And where in your Azure subscription would you like me to deploy the application? The first section is where I'm going to create your CI and CD. This is where I'm actually going to deploy it to. And if we even looked in here for a second here, I believe you'll see that I have some residual stuff from other deployments that I've done. So I'm going to take you through what we did on stage as well a little bit deeper. So what I wanted to show you here, if I were to go ahead and click on OK, I'm not going to do it now because I already built this, but it would then go into my Visual Studio Team Services account, and it would create the CI and the CD pipeline that I needed to be able to take the code and deploy it all the way into Azure for me. So I'm going to go ahead and cancel out of that. But I wanted to make sure you understood that while you're in Visual Studio, you can take advantage of these extensions to go create those pipelines for you. Okay, so let's go back in and look at what was actually produced by, what would be produced by that context menu and what I produced while I was on stage. So let's just go over to Visual Studio. Now this is the release definition. This is where we take the output of your build and we can deploy it to multiple environments. And this is where I want to slow down and again focus on the infrastructure as code part. I use a trick on stage. It's called auto hotkey. For all those who are watching and wondering how Donovan types so fast, that's how I type so fast. It's a great utility that allows me to make sure I can focus on demoing and not focus on typing when I'm on stage. Now, I copied and pasted very quickly these two template and template parameters, and some people are like, where do I get those values from? How am I supposed to know where those templates are? Well, you don't have to know where they are. All you have to do is click on the browse button, and then what it's going to show you here is this is the output produced by my build. And I can simply navigate this. Now, when I don't have an error here, let's try that one more time. Having some network connectivity issues here. We should get a drop down here that's going to allow me to see all of the items. Perfect. So here's the drop that was produced. Here are the files that were packaged as part of my build and then stored with Team Services so that I can go back in and retrieve it as part of my deployment. So all I would have to do is click on this one for the first option and click on this one for the second option. So you don't have to know crazy keyboard shortcuts or a big long path. Just browse to the information that you need. And here is the actual zip file. It's a web deploy. And here's my ARM templates, all packaged for me by my build system. Once you have those in the right locations, this is where you're able to override those parameters I was talking to you about. Remember I said I want to reuse the same templates, but I want to be able to control different aspects of it or change names or change values. And that's exactly what I'm doing here. You might have remembered when I opened that parameters file, there was a parameter in there called hosting plan name. And all I'm doing now is saying, I want to set that parameter to a variable that I'm actually going to provide you as part of my release. The way that you do that is on each one of these environments, I'm able to come in here and configure variables. And I happen to have configured a variable for the variable called website name. As you'll notice, the first one D is for dev, I have one Q for QA, and then I have one with a P for production. By simply defining a variable, I don't have to then come into each one of my tasks and change a value if I want to go from one environment to the next. I simply use a variable like I have here, and then I change that variable in one place for the environment, and then it applies to all my tasks inside that particular environment. You can also set these at a higher level. So if you have a variable that you know is going to be the same across all of your environments, you don't have to go and set it at every environment. You can come and set it at the release level. And this variable will then basically be applied to every environment that you use it in. One cool caveat there that I like is if I define a variable at the release level, because in five of my four environments, it's the same value, I can go into that fifth environment, redefine the exact same variable, and then override it for that one environment so that it's different. So there's a very powerful system of variables that we allow you to have here inside of release management. Once I do that, this task takes the definition that I've given it, and it applies it into Azure for my subscription and allows me to go ahead and spin up that environment and deploy inside of it. So I wanted to make sure that that's really clear on what was happening when I was doing all the infrastructure as code. Another thing that I wanted to point out is how easy it is to connect your Team Services account to your Azure account, which I feel like the old man who used to walk uphill both ways in school in the snow with no shoes on, because I remember when creating a service endpoint connection was really, really difficult inside of Team Services, but we're constantly improving that experience. And now all you have to do is choose whichever account you want and simply say authorize. So it's just a selection and a button click, and then we go behind the scenes and we make all this magic happen so that your Team Services can authenticate against your Azure account, and you can now deploy all this amazing code and workloads into the Azure portal for you. So I wanted to make sure I kind of double-clicked on that one for you as well. One other thing I wanted to talk to you about is another entry point into our CI/CD pipeline. If you're a developer, you're going to spend a lot of your time inside of Visual Studio. If you're an operations person, chances are you're going to spend a lot of time inside of the Azure portal, where you're able to review and monitor your resources. And if you get a request from a team that says, hey, I have this code in this repo inside of Team Services, can you please help me figure out how do I deploy it? You can actually enter our CI and CD from the Azure portal as well. So I'm a developer, I'm pleading with my ops guys, please help me figure out how I'm going to deploy this. The operations team can go and help generate those ARM templates that define how we're going to deploy in our infrastructure. After they go and actually spin some of that stuff up, what you're going to end up having is a resource group that will have inside of it a web application. If I were to navigate inside this web application, what I'm able to do is, just like I right-clicked inside Visual Studio, I can actually come into the Azure portal and I can actually create continuous delivery from here as well. On the left-hand side of this navigation, you'll see there's continuous delivery preview. I'm simply going to click on this, and when I do that, what's going to happen is it's going to allow me to configure continuous delivery. Now, this is different than just clicking on deployment options, setting up a local Git repo, and doing Git pushes into there. This actually creates an entire CI and CD pipeline that you have complete control over inside of Visual Studio Team Services. You can go and enable unit testing. You can go and enable code coverage. You can create bugs on build failures. You can add performance tests and coded UI test and Selenium test to your releases. So this is a little bit more mature, full-fledged DevOps pipeline alternative to just doing a local Git push to a repo that then finally deploys into Azure for you. When you're done clicking through this wizard, and I won't go through this in not much detail because, again, I'm doing this tomorrow live. I'm going to go through this entire thing in much more detail. But I wanted to make sure that I showed you all the different alternatives and entry points that you had into Visual Studio Team Services being the backbone for your CI and your CD. Now, one other thing I wanted to show you is a third alternative that's completely open source. Anyone can go and do this to actually generate an entire CI/CD pipeline. It's one of my little pet projects that I've been working on. If you follow me on Twitter, you've definitely seen some of the updates on something called Yo Team. It used to be called Yo VSTS. Then I got a request to port it to TFS. So I had both Yo VSTS and Yo TFS. And then on the flight home from Europe, I was able to port it all over into just Yo Team. What Yo Team allows you to do is do everything that you just saw me talk about, regardless if you are on stage or not, in about 4 or 5 minutes. That means go from zero to an entire DevOps pipeline. We can do this for any language targeting any platform. I'm just going to go ahead and show you that as one more alternative. So all you have to do is type Yo Team, and what's going to do now is it's going to start asking me some questions. It says, so do we want to use Team Foundation Server or do we want to use Visual Studio Team Services? The only difference between Team Foundation Server and Visual Studio Team Services is one you install yourself on-prem, the other one is hosted for you in the cloud. And one other difference is we update Team Foundation Server every 3 months. We update Visual Studio Team Services every 3 weeks. I happen to have a Team Services account called My Demos, so I'm going to go ahead and select that. It's now saying, I would love to connect to your Team Services account, so what I'm going to need here is a personal access token, which I've just typed in. And now what it's doing is it's going off and saying, given your personal access token, let me go see what queues you have available to us inside of your account. And this is what it's brought back for me. I happen to have a lot of different agent queues in my Team Services account, and I'll take a second to talk about those. Out of the box, you get three. You get a default template, which is by agent pool, which is by default empty. We also have a Linux one, and you also have what we call hosted. Hosted are Windows machines. Hosted Linux preview are Linux machines. And then default is just where you can add your own. You can add additional pools. As you can see here, I have one called Linux myself, one called Max, one called Scott Goo Demos, Red Hat, and then end-to-end VM. These are queues that I've created myself into which I can install additional agents. Our agent is what does all the heavy lifting for your builds and your releases. That can be installed on Mac, Windows, or Linux. It runs natively in all three of those platforms. So whenever you see me on stage and I'm saying any language, any platform, that's why I can say that, because we basically have our tools running on every platform that exists so that we can help you deploy your code to those environments. I'm going to go ahead and choose my default pool. And now it's asking me, what language do you want to use? Let's just have some fun and do something out of the ordinary. We're going to do Node.js instead. So I'm going to give my project a name. And now it's basically saying, where would you like to deploy this? We can deploy it to Docker, or we can deploy it to Azure App Service. I did Azure App Service on stage, and I kind of want to stay consistent with that. Docker is pretty simple as well. We ask you a couple more questions about your certs and your location, and we're able to deploy there. So we're going to go ahead and select App Service. And now it's going off and it's saying, okay, let me figure out what Azure subscriptions you have and which Azure subscription you would like to use. And I'm going to go ahead and choose my primary one. And the final questions it asks you before it gets off doing a lot of valuable stuff for you is, do you want me to go ahead and run npm and Bower and all the other package management resolutions for you? If you're going to immediately get to work and start coding it, I can do that for you. If not, just say no. And what it's going to do is start building out everything that we need. So it creates a team project for me inside of Visual Studio, which has already done. And it looks like it's going to go and clone my repo, which is going to bring down the code. If the code didn't already exist, it would add it for me. So what's going to happen now, since it found the team project, is it's actually cloning code that already exists. It's now going off and creating my subscriptions, creating my build for me. But it looks like it found all this stuff because I've actually run this already. If you hadn't run this already, then all of this stuff will basically be created for you on the fly. And I'm going to go ahead and overwrite the files that I have on my hard drive. And it's basically now going to do a commit to my Git repository for me. And now I'm actually ready to rock and roll. And I'll go show you what was actually created for us in a second. Another thing that's interesting about this is that if you already have a project that already exists, and you don't need source code, you don't need the project created, you can actually do something like this. You can type yo team, and then I'm just going to type the word pipeline. Basically saying, I don't need you to do everything that you just did. I just need you to get me a pipeline, because I already have code, and I know where I want it to go. I just need the pipeline created for me. So by typing yo team colon pipeline, it's just going to ask me a subset of those questions, and it's going to go build me a completely different pipeline. So let's go ahead and answer some of these questions. I'm going to go this time and say, why don't we create a pipeline to Docker as well? So default's good. Node is still the same, but I want to do Docker this time. So it's basically saying, where's your Docker host? Where are your Docker certs? And do you want to go to Docker Hub, or do you want to go to Azure Container Registry? You basically just give me the URL. Dark Warrior is my username, and then it's going to need my password. And I'm going to do Node.js. I'm going to host it on port 3000. And now you're going to see it do something different. It's not going to try to give me any source code. It's basically just going to go and create me another pipeline that's going to build a Docker image for me and actually deploy that Docker image into the Docker container that I told it to use. So it's really nice to be able to use this, not only to start from scratch, but to even augment something that you might already have running in production. And then after this, I'm going to show you exactly what got built for us, which is very similar to what I built on stage. It uses infrastructure as code. It adds a load test for you and allows you to just kickstart your projects very, very easily. This is completely open source, so you can go to GitHub and find this project and contribute to it. I've had a lot of pull requests on it already, which is kind of neat. We want to basically turn this into something where we can have additional languages. I don't mind adding additional platforms. We want to make sure that if you want to use Visual Studio Team Services as your DevOps platform, that we can kickstart your project very quickly for you so that you can go ahead and start utilizing the power that we have here. So what I want to do now is switch back over to Visual Studio, and I'm going to take you into another project to see what that actually produced for us. So if I go to My Demos, I'm going to take you into the Node project. And it created everything that you saw me create on stage, but it does in about 4 or 5 minutes, which is really nice and convenient for us. So what we're going to do now is we're basically going to come in and we're going to start looking around. So let's go ahead and jump out of here. I'm going to go over and show you the build that was created. And then after the build, I'm going to show you the release that was created as well. So again, I didn't have to lift a finger to get all of this. This just comes automatically for you. So let's just go ahead and edit this particular item. Now, this one I think is really cool. I like this because what we figured out is we use all the common tools that you've already know and love. So we run Bower, we run NPM, we go ahead and even run some tests. We calculate code coverage. Whenever I do my Node.js development, I use basically Node, Mocha, Istanbul, and Sinon as a trio of tools that I use for testing. It's Mocha, Sinon, and Istanbul. When I do that, I'm actually able to get code coverage, mocking the whole nine yards, and I actually figured out how to incorporate that inside of my build. So if I come over here and look at one of these, you'll see that we actually have code coverage results about the load up that actually come from running Mocha test inside of Visual Studio Team Services. So again, any language, any platform, I mean it. I don't care if it's Node or Java or PHP. If you can show me how to do it from a command line, I can show you how to do it in our build and our release system, and we can even wrap it up for you and put it inside of an extension and make that available to everyone. As we can see down here, we actually started doing some releases as well, so I'm going to go ahead and click on this release. And what ended up getting created for us here was a complete release pipeline, and I have my approvals here, which is another part that I kind of glossed over during the presentation this morning, was how our approvers actually work and how they add benefits. So this is kind of a neat segue, so I'm going to go ahead and talk about it. Because as you can see up here at the top, it's waiting for an approval for me to go off and say it is okay for us now to go ahead and move forward. When people ask me about DevOps, they say, Donovan, what should we automate? And I say, everything that you possibly can, but that's a drastically different statement than saying automate everything. Automate everything that you can. And sometimes you still need that human being to come in and give that thumbs up, and that's where approvals can come in for you. So an approval is basically where it's saying, okay, Donovan, I need your permission to continue on. I've already deployed successfully into dev. I'm waiting for you to give me permission to go into QA. If and only if you give me that permission, will I continue my deployment into your QA environment. Imagine that you have a QA lead who has an environment in which they test upon. Your continuous integration is constantly cranking out builds, but you don't want every build that your dev team produces to end up in the QA environment. It could invalidate their test results. It could set them back and have them have to start testing all over again. So you want to basically have someone protect that environment, and your QA lead can be that person. But instead of putting like one person there, I'd probably put your QA team as a group there. That way, if your QA lead goes on vacation, all your releases don't stall because he's the only person or she's the only person that can actually go back in and approve it. By putting a group there, that allows anyone in that group to go give the thumbs up and allow this to continue on. Another thing that a lot of people don't realize is that not only can I have an approver on the left side of my environment, I can also have one on the right side or on the outside of my deployment. Why might I want something like that? QA is another perfect example of that. I now have my QA person going in and doing functional testing, exploratory testing, and they find lots and lots of technical debt, lots and lots of bugs, and they don't want it to go into production. They don't want anyone to even try to get it into production. You can put your QA lead or your QA group again as an approver on the outside, and if they don't like what they see when they're doing their testing, they can actually reject that release on the way out so that it never sees the light of day going into production. So it's, again, very, very powerful concepts that we've enabled here inside of Visual Studio. And again, this was all built for me just using YoTeam. So let me go ahead and show you one more time what this looks like. So if I go and edit this, you'll see everything that was produced for me. Dev, QA, and prod, just like I was on stage. Infrastructure's code in the deployment, and even the web test. So as I start to mature my DevOps pipelines, I start to go back to the tool and figure out how we can add more power to them as well. So hopefully that gives you some insight of what I was doing on stage, how I was able to go so fast, and it's because our tools have just really matured into a really great place. So hopefully you've been asking a lot of questions, and I'm going to stop now and start answering them. Thanks, Seth.
Awesome. So some questions for me, because sure. I've seen this before, this setup before, but I want you to go through some of the other tabs, because I saw you did Yo, and then it generated this whole thing.
Yes, absolutely.
So what are some of the other things that maybe you haven't looked at that are available in VSTS that I should know about?
Okay, great. So some of the other things, when we're talking about DevOps, a lot of times we focus on the CI and the CD. But DevOps really began with the idea that you wanted to turn into a working piece of software. And to do that, you're going to need to capture that idea. You're going to need to groom that idea. You're going to need to track that idea. And a lot of that can happen for you on the Work tab. So this Work tab is where we're going to have our product backlog, for example. A product backlog is just a laundry list of any and everything that you want to do in priority order. And what I love about this screen is that as a Scrum Master, what I do very often is during our retrospectives or our sprint reviews, when we're doing our dog and pony show for our stakeholders, I'm in the back of the room and a stakeholder will yell out this great question. And then what I will do is say, that was a good idea. So I'll put in there idea number one, and I'll simply click on add, and I'm able to quickly capture all this feedback as part of our review. And then afterwards, I sit with our product owner and we prioritize this to make sure it's in priority order. Then our developers can come in and they can start breaking these things down and adding child tasks to this. After that, they can then switch over to our Kanban board, which will allow them to see their code and their value as it moves across our pipeline. We also have delivery plans, which I didn't set up for this particular project, that allows you to see across multiple teams on a particular project when they're going to be able to deliver the assets in which they're supposed to deliver. And then the other tab that I didn't spend much time on is the test tab, which allows you to do all your QA activities, your manual testing, exploratory testing, create your test suites, and actually see how it actually works across it. So again, when you think of Visual Studio Team Services, it's everything that you need to turn an idea into a working piece of software. That's the only way I can say it.
I love that. So the Yo template is designed to get you something with the basics of CI/CD type things.
Absolutely. What it does is it builds you an entire DevOps pipeline with CI and CD. It even creates the team project for you. So at time zero, all you need to do is type Yo team. And then when it's done, 4 minutes later, you have a team project, you have a Git repository, you have a CI build, you have a DevOps pipeline going to DevQA and prod, and it's ready for you to just simply do a Git push, and that code will instantly go into Azure.
Awesome. So we have a question from Owen Farrell. How can TFS 2017 CI help when deployment environment is on an external private network?
Ooh, that is such a
air gap dev prod environments.
All right, that's great. So there's a couple ways that we can actually achieve that for you. First of all, is the agent that I keep going back to, the guy who can run on Linux, Windows, or Mac, can be installed anywhere, including behind your firewall. And a lot of people think that, okay, VSTS is in the cloud, that means I can only deploy the things that are in the cloud. That is not true. What I would do is take that agent, I would install it behind your firewall. As long as he is now, or that piece of code is now in sight, line of sight to whatever you want to deploy to, it's going to basically call home to Azure, Team Services and say, is there anything for me to do? We're going to say, yep, we need you to go deploy the code. That code could be behind your firewall. The resources that you're going to deploy to could be behind your firewall. Your IP never sees the internet, but we're still able to communicate with that agent and have it do what we need it to do on your behalf behind your firewall.
That's an interesting concept of agents. Can you elaborate more on that? Because I feel like are agents just for deploying stuff, or what can your agents do? And then on top of that, where can you install these kinds of agents?
Perfect. So the agent actually is the cornerstone for our build, release, and our test. Cool. Right? So it does your CI build for you. It does your delivery pipeline for you. And because of that, we can run tests in there. We can actually run tests for you as well as part of that. Where can you install them? You can install them on any Linux machine, Mac machine, or Windows machine anywhere in the world.
Fantastic. So for those that want to get started, I know you get five accounts for free, or a five user account. You mentioned that it was a special kind of account, but you can have other users as well. Can you mention that again?
Sure. So when you create a Team Services account, you have the rights for you and for your buddies to go off and start doing whatever development that you want.
And it looks like this is the dashboard to it, right?
So this is just a dashboard where you could go and start adding new team members if you wanted to. So you could invite a friend to your project here. And then what they would do is they would get an email that's saying, hey, you've been invited to join this team. They click on a link, they would then log in, and they would be able to have access to it. You can do that for five people who do not have an MSDN. If you have an MSDN, you can invite all your buddies who have MSDN. They will not count against your five users.
That's awesome.
Right. And we also have a stakeholder license, which is basically this person will not be slinging code. They're not a developer, but they have a vested interest in being able to track the progress of this project. They might want to be able to give you feedback. They can basically have a stakeholder license that does not count against the five people again. So you can really have a pretty big size team at absolutely no cost. All your MSDNs are already covered. And the only people that are going to need to pay are developers who do not have an MSDN beyond the fifth person.
Got it. The other question I have, and this is one that I've been thinking about, what if you are using other services like GitHub or Jenkins, where would you go in VSTS to set those up?
Oh, that's a fantastic question. So one place I'll go real quickly is if I go back to our build definition here, and let me go ahead and just edit one of these. If you're already using GitHub, you don't have to leave where you are. So let me go back. Sorry, this is environments. I want to go to my build. And I'm going to show you that we can actually pull code from several different repositories. So let me go ahead and edit this guy. And if I were to go over here to my repositories, I can go from VSTS, I can go from GitHub, I can go from Bitbucket, or I can go from Subversion. So any of these repos, you don't have to move your code from there. You can just leave your code there and directly pull into it. So if you're working on a open source project and you want to build it using VSTS, this is exactly how you'd be able to connect it. And once you choose GitHub, it's going to walk you through a process of authorizing your access to that particular project. From within our release product, that's where we would start talking about things like Jenkins. So Jenkins is a CI system just like our CI system is. And if I were to go to an existing particular release here, I could actually go and edit this, and the artifacts that I pull from can actually be pulled from things like Jenkins if I wanted to. So I don't have to pull them directly from here. I could pull them from a Jenkins build and then start deploying them as well.
Awesome. So it is indeed, you can use it pretty much with whatever you want.
Yeah, and that's a really important thing. I think a lot of people are under the impression that, one, VSTS is for .NET and Windows only. It's not. It's for any language, any platform, and that you have to use all of it or nothing, and that's also incorrect. If you were to look at our tool set, we have the work planning, we have the build, we have the release, and we have the test. You can replace any of those with whatever you wanted. If you really wanted to use Jenkins, you could still use our source control, our work item tracking, and our release pipeline. If you really wanted to use Octopus Deploy, you could still use our build, and you could use our source control and our work item tracking, and then still utilize Octopus Deploy. So find the tools that are going to best solve your problem, and then plug us in where you're having the most pain.
Love it. This has been super informative. Thanks so
Thank
much.
Thank you. My pleasure,
guys. You just watched Zero to DevOps with the awesome Donovan Brown. Coming up, we have DevOps for SQL Server developers. This is a space where I feel like I've messed up databases so many times by not having a good DevOps pipeline. We're pretty excited to have a partner there to talk about that. Please make sure you submit your questions. As you're watching, we'll get them queued up over here on the tag board. Use hashtag VS2017.